Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Now, as you may have heard on Morning Ireland and in the news bulletin there, a report into sexual abuse in boarding and day schools could be approved for publication by the Cabinet today. The report was received by the government in June. It was sparked by allegations of historical abuse at Blackrock College, Belvedere College and other privately run fee-paying schools. One option being considered is a statutory inquiry, which could cover potentially thousands of cases. Well, for more on this, I'm joined now by Patsy McGarry of the Irish Times. Good morning, Patsy.
Good morning, Claire.
So, Patsy, will you take us back and just set the scene for us and remind us about the allegations that led to this report in the first place?
Well, we have to go back to November 2022, Claire, when there were two events, actually. There was the broadcast of the documentary on One and RT Radio, which involved the two Ryan brothers, the late Mark and his brother David, who described in detail their abuse as children at Willow Park School, which is the preparatory school for Blackrock, and indeed at Blackrock itself. And coincident with that was a press conference launched by men, mainly from South Dublin, members of the class of 1979, who had been talking to the Spiritans who ran the school and had decided to set up a restorative justice programme for people who'd been abused there. And the two events happened to coincide. But it led to an explosion, if you like, of attention, first of all, but also of people coming forward and men coming forward who'd been abused in both schools as children. Meanwhile, we had the revelations about Marmion and his abuse of boys in Belvedere College. There were revelations from Temple Log College. And a whole series of these fee-paying schools had people come forward to tell stories about their abuses as pupils in those schools. And that led the government, or in particular Norma Foley, the Minister for Education, to set up this scoping inquiry under Mary O'Toole, Senior Counsel. And she was to talk to, and indeed did, to survivors of these schools to investigate what type of inquiry the survivors wanted. That report was sent to government in June of this year. It's 700 pages long, itself as long, actually, as the Murphy report, which investigated the abuse of children in the Dublin Archdiocese that was published in November 2009. Now, I mean, they all along, all parties to this have been absolutely assiduous about the fact that, first of all, her report will not be leaked, and it hasn't, and that the first people to see it will be abuse survivors themselves before it is published. And that has been held to very, very rigorously, I can say, as somebody who has made efforts to see it myself since it was sent to government in June.
OK, but we are expecting this to be published today, are we? Or will the survivors be given some time with it before it is released to the general public?
But from what the Taoiseach said there on Morning Ireland this morning, it looks like, and his doorstep on the way into government meeting this morning, it looks like that the government will decide on publication today, but that it may not necessarily be published today. And certainly it looks like it will be the case that abuse survivors will see it first before it is formally published. So we cannot say really. What the government may do today is decide on the form of inquiry that will take place, arising from the recommendations of Mary O'Toole's report.
So what we are expecting, or what may possibly happen now, is that there will be a statutory inquiry as a result of this scoping report, Patsy. Is that where this might lead us to?
Absolutely, Claire. And the question is, what form will that statutory inquiry take? Because it has, in fact, looking at all the schools involved, it could be one of the biggest statutory inquiries of its type that we've ever seen in Ireland. It could potentially be on the scale of the Murphy Commission, or sorry, the Ryan Commission, which investigated the abuse of children in orphanages, reformatories and industrial schools. And it sat for 9 years. And what it did do is that it took a sample of all the hundreds of institutions involved, statistically arrived at, and investigated those as indicative of the abuses that took place in all the institutions and made its findings accordingly. I mean, that is a recipe for a lengthy investigation and an expensive one, which government has been determined to avoid since the Ryan report was published in 2009. In fact, a new form of commission was established in 2004, which investigated Dublin Archdiocese, Cloyne Diocese, and the Mother and Baby Home Commission came under its remit as well. And this was set up, in other words, to bring in a result of a report quickly and more cost effectively. And it did do so, but all of its hearings were in private, and that disturbed a lot of people, whereas Ryan had some of its hearings in public, mainly to do with representatives of the religious congregations and relevant government departments. It also had two strands. which creates confusion. There was a confidential committee before which people could simply appear to give their tell their story without being challenged whatsoever. And hundreds of people before the Ryan Commission and the Mother and Baby Home Commission took that route. A very small minority decided to go through the investigation arm of the commissions. And it people in double figures only went before this investigation arm and were challenged on the evidence that they gave. So it was tested. And really the findings of the Ryan Commission, the main findings of the Mother and Baby Home Commission was based on what they gathered through the investigation committee. And frankly, personally speaking, although it's a very laudable idea to set up a forum for people to tell their stories unchallenged, in a statutory context and trying to establish what really happened in these institutions, it's not very helpful or very useful.
So all of these questions then will have to be grappled with ahead of this statutory inquiry being established. So you have potentially victims here being frustrated if it's a very lengthy process. But then if you don't embark on a lengthy process, the veracity of the report may be challenged when its outcomes eventually emerge.
That is true. And there's another element to all of this. How far back does it go? I interviewed a man, for instance, who was abused in Blackrock, and he's now in his 70s. That goes back 60 years. Mm. The Murphy report went back as far as 1975. The Ryan Commission went back to 1922. Now, by the time it was set up, nearly all the institutions it investigated had closed from the early 70s period, so it covered really a 50-year period. And that's another element. How far back will it go? Which will, of course, have implications for the duration of the inquiry itself.
Now, we'll be speaking to Liam O'Brien, who made that documentary that you mentioned, in just a couple of moments, and he has been in contact with some of the survivors today. But what do you believe the survivors want from all of this?
Basically, the survivors want their story told and to be believed. I don't think there's any issue really with them being believed anymore. They want a forum, and I suppose most of them would have no difficulty going before an investigation committee and having their evidence tested by such a committee. And they want basically to have confirmed what they themselves have established already. For instance, that group of men from South Dublin who set up the restorative programme with the Spiritans in November 2022, were all from the one leaving their class, the class of 1979. And at that press conference, when they launched that restorative justice programme, they said that one in five of their comrades or classmates had been sexually abused at Blackrock College. I mean, that's a shocking statistic, but that would need to be tested. And I'm sure they would like that tested and proven.
And then you bring me to the issue of the religious orders, because in previous inquiries, some religious orders, Patsy, we know were criticised for their very defensive approach that they took during the hearings. Do you think that's likely to change this time around?
I suspect it would. I know, having covered the hearings of the Ryan Commission myself, how aggressively defensive some of the 18 congregations were in giving their evidence. And it didn't help them. And they turned out to be the ones with most to hide. I would think at this stage, having learned from that experience and all that has happened in the intervening years, that the religious congregations would be much more cooperative, as some indeed were of the 18 with Ryan. I think that the template would be much more different. And of course, there's another element to all of this, where the state had a direct role when it came to orphanages, residential homes for children, industrial schools, etc. That is not as clear in this case. These are privately run fee-paying schools, and the element of state involvement would also have to be established, and that's a legal matter.
Mm-hmm. And that brings us to redress then. In terms of that redress for the survivors, what options might be considered here, and is it a question for government?
Well, that arises from the last comment I made. I mean, the element of government responsibility will determine how much the state is open, if you like, or exposed when it comes to redress. As I can see, from my own point of view, looking at it now, and I'm not a legal expert, it would appear that the greater degree of redress will rest with the relevant religious congregations, the ones who ran the schools. They don't have a great record when it comes to this, looking at the outcome of the Ryan Commission report. I mean, they fought very vigorously to get a deal with Martin Woodson, who's the Minister of Education, in 2002, where they were guaranteed an indemnity against all future actions by anybody who in these institutions, and in turn they paid over 128 million to a redress scheme that has cost about $1.5 billion. They were called in when the Ryanair Commission report was published in 2009 by the then Cowan government and asked to contribute more. The government had no legal means to compel them to do so. They agreed that they would. Their figures were investigated and few of them had met the commitments that they made then. Mm-hmm. There's no legal mechanism to compel them to do so. There is a moral one, but they don't seem to take that too seriously either.
Listen, you've mentioned Ryan and Murphy a number of times over the course of our chat now. I mean, how does this issue compare, sexual abuse in boarding and private day schools, Patsy, in your view?
Well, I do believe that this particular statutory inquiry has the potential to be the biggest of all because of the numbers of schools involved. Because you're not talking about just private fee-paying schools among the most prestigious colleges and secondary schools in Dublin, the Dublin area, but throughout the country. And that would take in, for instance, diocesan colleges in nearly every Catholic diocese in Ireland that were called junior seminaries, which are boarding schools where abuse did take place and has been established. And also those Protestant-run fee-paying schools, there are about 11 of those still, but there were more, where there was also a record of abuse. So the scale of this could be huge. And that's why I think that what will happen is that it'll be done on a sample basis, whereby a statistical number will be chosen scientifically or mathematically as representative of the whole lot, and the investigation will be into those particular schools. Also, we have to remember that we're dealing with very powerful religious congregations, the wealthiest in the country, some of them, who will have great means at their disposal to defend themselves legally and their responsibilities or whatever.
Thank you very much, Patsy. Patsy McGarry there with the Irish Times. And we're joined now by Liam O'Brien, series producer on the RTÉ documentary On One. Good morning, Liam.
Morning, Claire. How are you?
I'm very well. And it was your documentary, as Patsy mentioned there, Blackrock Boys. It was the catalyst, really, to that news this morning of a statutory inquiry. And people will remember you told the story so well of David and Mark Ryan, the brothers who were abused in Blackrock College in Dublin. I know you've been chatting to David both this morning and last night, Liam. How is he and how does he feel about what's happened?
I guess in the round, he's extremely happy. On another level, he probably doesn't know if he's coming or going. I mean, days like today, or what's expected to happen today in terms of announcements, they don't come along that often. I mean, victims like David, they spent almost their entire adult lives not being believed, you know, decades. And they were kind of pushed out as single individuals having to fight against, you know, these big entities in terms of Catholic congregations. So a day like today brings all those victims together. It gives them a collective voice. It's a safe space. They are believed. And all of those things, I mean, you know, as someone, for those of us who aren't victims, we will never understand how something like today would be totally and utterly life-changing, I think, mm-hmm. for people like David.
Especially for David, because, of course, he lost Mark, who very sadly died. Just before we talk about that, I just want to play a clip from your documentary, Blackrock Boys, Liam. We're going to hear Mark Ryan speaking about when he first went to Blackrock College as a 12-year-old boy.
My parents, they were very proud that I went to Blackrock College. They thought it was a fantastic school. My father had to leave school when he was quite young because his father had died and he had to go out and work. He really wanted the best education for his children. They thought that Blackrock College was it for me.
During Mark's first year at Blackrock College, one of the teachers began to take a special interest in him.
I was befriended by one of the teachers there, a priest. He saw that I had an interest, I suppose, in basic maths and computers and things like that. And there was a little computer society.
This priest, Mark's teacher, gave him his own computer, a rare thing in 1970s Ireland.
I now realise I was being groomed. It's a relatively new thought for me. And when I see things now, my understanding is my parents were being groomed.
The priest who was grooming Mark was a Holy Ghost father, or Spiritan, as they're now known.
So I was in Blackrock College. This particular priest, I'm going to call him the perpetrator because this is what actually happened, the perpetrator, used to invite me down for swimming down in Willow Park, which was the primary school connected to the secondary school. It had its own swimming pool.
a Friday evening, Saturday evening, go down for a swim, which was fantastic in its own way, be able to go for a swim. Well, that's part of the grooming, being chosen, made to feel special. And he was coming up to our house. My parents thought he was fantastic.
And that's Mark Ryan, who very sadly died last year at the age of 62. His first anniversary, Liam, is coming up at the end of this month, isn't it? And it must be so tough for David, because they got what they were fighting for, but the man, his brother, described as his rock, isn't here to see the day with him.
Yeah, September 21st will be Mark's first anniversary. And I mean, I guess once the kind of the snowball effect started to come out of the documentary in terms of all those victims, particularly coming out in Liveline initially, you know, Mark's and then talk from the government about potential inquiries and so on. Like, Mark's one wish was that all of this would happen and kind of come to a resolution before both he and all of the other victims involved were too old or would have passed away. And really sadly and tragically, that didn't happen for Mark.
Mm-hmm. We were talking to Patsy McGarry there about the processes around the Murphy and the Ryan statutory inquiries. You know, there were criticisms of them because they went on too long. There were criticisms of some of the ways that they were carried out. Some of the victims weren't completely happy with the processes therein. What does this one need to do? What are the victims telling you about what they need to see now?
Well, so far, from speaking to some of the victims, everything seems to have been done right so far. So in terms of the scoping inquiry, it's very much the team behind that were very much about listening. So being informed by victims, both in terms of what happened to them and also then what their wishes are in terms of steps forward. So I think that's off to a good start. Even today there'll be a series of difficult moments, both for victims, because all of this information is going to gush out into the public domain, presumably at some stage. And whilst I can understand why both the inquiry and the cabinet, for instance, will want victims to be made aware of the information first, I think in the world we live in, I'm not sure if that's, you know, feasible. Plus, there's 700 pages to get through. So, you know, I think it's going to be a long process. Mm-hmm. But certainly in terms of, like, we'll say, I would have spoken to some of the wider kind of team involved in the scoping inquiry. And, like, for them, they very much felt it as a kind of a privilege or an honour to be in a position to listen to these victims that were stepping forward and feeding into the scoping inquiry. And like one, just to give you one kind of example that I found very emotional, it really resonates, is that a lot of victims, particularly those who fed in on not on an anonymous basis, but their identities would be withheld from the publication, but not their testimony, is that a lot of older men were contacted the inquiry team from the car, from their car, from the safety of that car, and from the loneliness of that car, and that for the first time in their lives, they were articulating what had happened to them in terms of their abuse to the scoping inquiry team.
So they were making the call in the car because they didn't want anyone in their family to know what had happened to them.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, you know, like, you know, the term historical abuse is quite, well, it's used all the time in relation to instances like this. But whilst the abuse itself might have been historical, the effects of it, they go on not just for the person who is still alive 40, 50, 60 years later, but it also goes on into future generations.
Oh, the effects are current. You know, we can be in no doubt about that. But I suppose on the other hand, isn't it great that there was a willingness there from so many of these people to speak to those who were putting together the scoping report, Liam, that wanted to talk?
They did, but I think, you see, there are few enough safe spaces in which you can do that. And once this kind of formal footing was put in place, this really safe, sound, confidential forum for victims, that facilitated and allowed them to step forward. Like, again, I go back to it, like, these are people who have fought against the system, who have not been believed. In some instances, they weren't believed at home. Then they weren't believed within the school, within the community. And that kind of whole system was against them. And now they're finding that they have a position, they have a place, they have an avenue in which they can actually articulate what happened.
One other thing I wanted to ask you about, Patsy McGarry, when I asked him to put it in context, when you put this alongside Murphy and Ryan, he said that this potentially could be the biggest of all of the statutory inquiries into child sexual abuse. Given your experience in talking to these victims and speaking to people, as you said, in the wider scoping inquiry, do you think that might be possible?
I don't think, well, it's not really for me to say, but it feels like there's no doubt that this will be the biggest statutory inquiry in the history of the state. I mean, it will, on paper, and in terms of the scoping report, it extends to any living person who attended a day or boarding school in Ireland run by a religious congregation. So, I mean, you're talking about individuals stretching back to 1930. It's not specific to men. It also includes women. So, I mean, you're talking it surely it extends into 5 million plus people. Mm-hmm. And then you have how many ever victims within that. So it's huge. Yeah. I mean, it's and one kind of point, I guess, to make is that in terms of the public aspects of it, I think one thing that's critically important to victims is, one, to have their voices and their stories heard, like Patsy mentioned, but also to understand and to have it revealed the systemic nature of what happened in terms of who knew what, when they knew what efforts were made to cover up, all that kind of territory. That's critically important to victims to understand, you know.
Liam, thanks so much for being with us. Liam O'Brien, series producer of the RTÉ documentary On One, whose documentary Blackrock Boys, as I said at the beginning, really was the catalyst to get to this point where that report is due to be published, first given to the victims and the people who fed into it, and then it'll be published and we'll all get to see it, and it is expected that it will lead to a statutory inquiry. Now, I know some people listening to that may have been prompted in some way to remember something that they may not have thought about for a very long time. If you've been affected by anything you heard, you'll find details for helplines on rte.ie/helplines.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.